Bienvenidos and welcome to Surviving Spanish with Karen, a short podcast with targeted lessons to complement your Spanish learning. First off, I wanted to thank all of you who continue to tune in on a weekly basis. I've said it before, but it means the world to me. Knowing that you listen to my lessons on your free time definitely makes me feel blessed. I wanted to let you guys know that I am switching podcast day to Thursdays. It works better with my schedule, and I hope it continues to fit yours. This week, we're going to be learning how to describe your home. I'm going to give you tips about watching TV in Spanish, and you're going to learn about Cuba. Luckily, my friend Nivaldo will be teaching us some interesting facts about Cuba. He's super popular on Instagram as he posts daily phrases, and he even has a bunch of funny TikTok videos. If you want to check him out, look for @Spanish_4_everyday. Stay tuned for the end of the episode to hear his segment. Watching TV in Spanish. Have you ever watched foreign TV and wondered what they're saying? Are you learning Spanish because you love Latin novelas? Do you think foreign actors are more attractive than Hollywood actors? Well, this segment is for you. I've always been a fan of international TV, and it could be because growing up, we watched quite a few novelas in my household. Spanish TV tends to be extra dramatic, and their music and cinematographics are really different to Hollywood. If you haven't seen any Spanish novelas, I recommend you watch Ruby. It's not super new, as it came out in 2004, but the story will make you laugh, cry, and get mad as you watch Ruby's trifling life unfold. A Latino novela will never lack with dramatic slaps in the face, gasps, and tears included. But what do you do when you really just do not understand what they're saying? Well, that's when my dear friend the subtitles come in. Subtitles are a language learner's super sega crutch for learning languages. You should use them to your advantage, and in this episode, I will tell you how. I've used this with every language I've studied, and it worked especially well for studying Portuguese. Now, I've had students who are beginners, and they're so excited to learn Spanish that they watch Spanish TV with Spanish subtitles, but unless you're super advanced or fluent, this is literal torture. Today, I'm going to give you recommendations of what to do with subtitles if you are a beginner, intermediate, or advanced speaker. If you're a beginner, don't shoot yourself in the foot and leave the subtitles in your first language. So if your first language is English, watch the Spanish TV with English subtitles. To get the most out of your subtitles, I recommend you get the most out of your Spanish TV by using a notebook while watching to write down words that you hear and try to match them to the subtitles. For example, if you listen to the way people answer the phone in Spanish TV, you will hear bueno, but the subtitle will say hello. Write it down. Or if you see people meeting each other and one person says un placer and the subtitle says it's a pleasure, write it down. This is an easy way to acquire daily routine words while learning about mannerisms and culture. For intermediate speakers, you should watch English TV with Spanish subtitles. Again, We're not trying to do something so difficult that your brain shuts off. We're trying to harness your already acquired skills and use them for your benefit. This lets you practice your reading skills and also continues to help you match vocabulary and sentences from what you understand to what you are learning. I recommend you do this with a familiar show or something you've already seen so you don't feel like you're missing out on the plot if you just try to read instead of focusing on the cinematics of the show. For example, if you're watching The Office for the fourth time, slap on those subtitles in Spanish and read away. You'll find that many of the things you read, you've probably already studied, but you can then see how these phrases fit in familiar situations. For advanced speakers, you made it to the big boss. You should watch Spanish TV with Spanish subtitles. This will help you with reading, listening, and pronunciation. You will see words you understand written, you will see how we combine them together in Spanish, and you'll feel accomplished with what you can understand. You will likely understand 70 to 80% of what you're reading and listening to, which is amazing. Now, if you're fluent, well, then you choose whatever language you want your subtitles in. I like to watch Spanish TV with English subtitles to see how well the translations work, or also to see if what they've chosen is what I would have chosen. And sometimes I do the same with English TV. I watch it with Spanish subtitles to see if the translator did a good job. If you're at a fluent level, I recommend you play around with the Latin American translations and the Spain Spanish translations. It's hilarious because oftentimes they're pretty different. Next episode, I will be recommending to you my favorite Spanish action series, drama series, and a couple of good movies that are available on Netflix where you can try these subtitle tricks. Now, let's get to the Spanish part. In episode 19, we talked about the rooms in the house. In episode 16, we talked about the verb tener. Today, we're going to combine the two, and I'm going to teach you how to describe your home in Spanish. First, let's review the verb tener. Tener means to have. We say tengo for I have. We use tiene for he, she, it has. And we use tenemos for we have. These three versions of tener is what we're going to use today to describe your home. To review, the rooms of the house are baño, bathroom, comedor, dining room, cocina, kitchen, and we're going to use the word cuarto for room. Sala is living room. Sótano is basement. And lastly, we will use patio and garaje for patio and garage. So first, how do we describe my house is big or my house is small? To say this, we would say, mi casa, my house, is grande o pequeña. That means big or small. Notice, grande has no gender, but pequeña needs to match in gender as la casa is feminine. So we can say, mi casa es grande or mi casa es pequeña. My house is big or my house is small. We can also throw in a muy to say very. So, mi casa es muy grande. My house is very big. Or, mi casa es muy pequeña. My house is very small. Then, we want to use our verb tener to describe what our house is like. We would say, Mi casa es muy grande. Tiene cuatro cuartos y dos baños. My house is very big. It has four rooms and two bathrooms. En mi casa, in my house, tenemos un comedor. We have a dining room, una sala, a living room, y una cocina grande, and a big kitchen. Listen again. En mi casa tenemos un comedor, una sala, y una cocina grande. Notice, I'm using un and una, which means a or an. We like to use tenemos here because saying just tengo, I have, would mean you live alone. So if you do live alone, you can use tengo. For example, en mi casa tengo un patio muy grande y un garaje para dos carros. In my house, I have a very big patio and a garage for two cars. If you do live with other people, it makes more sense to use tenemos. Lastly, let's talk about el sótano. Mi cuarto está en el sótano. Me gusta vivir en el sótano porque en el verano, si tengo calor, abro la ventana. Mi cuarto está en el sótano means my room is in the basement. Me gusta vivir en el sótano. I like to live in the basement. Porque en el verano, because in the summer, si tengo calor, if I'm hot, abro la ventana. I open the window. For those of you who don't have basements, it's super normal in Canada to have one, and even more normal to have bedrooms there. So no, I don't live in a dungeon. I have a window, and I have a proper bedroom in the basement. So to recap, mi casa es muy grande. My house is very big. You can also follow it by pequeña to say small. En mi casa tenemos, in my house we have. Then you can list all of the rooms in your house or use en mi casa tengo if you live alone. And lastly, you can talk about your room by saying mi cuarto and describing it. Now is your turn to repeat. Mi casa es muy grande. Mi casa es muy pequeña. En mi casa tenemos. En mi casa tengo. Mi cuarto. Me gusta vivir en. So a special thank you to my friend Nivaldo, or at Spanish underscore for underscore every day. Now he's going to be telling us some interesting facts about Cuba coming up. So thanks again, Nivaldo, for coming on to the show. And I'm sure my students will enjoy this.
Hey, hola, hola. Y gracias, Karen, por tenerme en tu podcast. Then let's talk about Cuba, because I am originally from Cuba. Then the official language in Cuba is Spanish. And the population in Cuba is a little more than 11 million people. As you know, Cuba is an island. It is in the Caribbean. sometimes people will get a little confused where is located Cuba. Some people sometimes they ask me, hey, Nibaldo, is Cuba in Mexico? Then I say, no, Cuba is an island in the Caribbean. It's something that we need to keep in mind. About the food, you know, what we love to eat, it is part of the Cuban culture when we're talking about food. Let's say rice, beans, plantains, and pork. Cuban people, we love a lot of rice and beans. We can eat rice and beans every day, and for lunch, for dinner, even some people, they eat rice and beans for breakfast, yes. And the music and dancing in Cuba, they are very, very popular. And if you go to Cuba, you can see little kids, sometimes even 3-4 year old, they are dancing even better than the love of adult, even better than me. And in Cuba, it's very popular salsa, but really we can dance in Cuba everything, you know, bachata, for example, or even rock, but salsa is something very popular in Cuba. And about the sport, in Cuba is very, very popular, the baseball. Also, you go to Cuba, you can see people every age playing baseball everywhere, you know, in a stadium or on the street, even little kids. I remember when I was in Cuba, when I was a little kid, I'm talking 5, 6, 7 year old, I used to play baseball there on the street. Baseball is very, very popular in Cuba. Something else about Cuba is the weather. Cuba is very hot, but for Cuban people, maybe not, because we are accustomed. But a lot of tourists, when they go to Cuba, principally in July, August, they say, oh, wow, this is very hot here. But, you know, the good thing is that we have water. The water everywhere, because Cuba is an island. Then you can go and swimming. You can be swimming all day everywhere. We have a lot of places to go with water. Something very important of Cuban people is that we are very happy despite that we don't have a lot of money in our pocket, let's say. We are very happy. You go to Cuba and you see everybody smiling and greeting you, hey, hola, ¿cómo estás? And things like that. And we are very happy because the happiness, it is inside of us. You know, it is not what we get in life, money, clothes, and things like that. Cuban people, we have very good in that part. Then, other thing of Cuba is that Cuba is a very, very safe place to go. You know, in Cuba, we don't have big problems, you know, with drugs or gangs or things like that. It's very, very safe place to go. I encourage you, as a tourist, go to Cuba, enjoy Cuba, talk to people, and you are going to have a very good time there. Karen, thank you very much again for inviting me to your podcast. Muchas gracias. Adiós.
Thank you one more time, Nibaldo, for coming on to this educational episode of Surviving Spanish with Karen. In this episode, we kind of tied together a bunch of stuff that we've learned on the podcast so far in order to describe your home. I gave you my cheat sheets for using subtitles when watching foreign TV, and you learned some interesting facts about Cuba. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast in whatever platform you're listening from. And if you have any questions, I'm always available to answer them. You can slide into my DMs at Spanish with Karen or send me an email at KarenALVTeacher@gmail.com. So, as I always say, nos vemos la próxima semana.